What in God's name do you need a solvent for except to kill someone?
That's an outrageous slur.
Google it, mate.
The only way that you can preserve peace is to prepare for war.
Views on News with Mark Latham. Mark Latham. Mark Latham.
Okay, let's go to line one, which is a different line. Mark's normally on line four. Today, Mark, you're on line one. Mark Latham, member of the New South Wales Legislative Council. He joins me now. Hi, mate.
G'day, Brent. I hope line one's a promotion. That's how it works.
How are you? You good?
Yeah, good. Yeah, busy week in Parliament. That's why we're talking today. Yesterday was hectic and messy. The government doesn't handle the schedule very well, but always good to talk to you.
New South Wales Parliament, have they passed this net zero bill without knowing how much it will cost? Because you've had a lot to say about this week in Parliament on the floor.
Well, repeatedly I've been asking the Energy and Climate Change Minister, Penny Sharp, you're going down the path of net zero, which is the biggest transformation of the New South Wales economy in our lifetime. Can you tell us how much it will cost? I'd asked that three times. She couldn't provide an answer. And also I asked Daniel Mookie, the Treasurer, most importantly, he's in charge of the purse strings, how much will it cost? He couldn't provide that answer either. And I asked Penny Sharp also, you're doing all these changes to the energy grid and electric vehicles, telling people they can't use gas, all this sort of thing. Can you tell us what this combined effort will result in terms of lowering global surface temperatures, doing something about climate? And she couldn't provide any answer for an outcome. So, Brent, it's the most bizarre bit of legislation ever to send New South Wales to net zero emissions when you can't say how much it'll cost, what it will achieve, and the other thing they can't answer is how much land space will it use? Because once you take out residential, industrial, inaccessible, Aboriginal, ecosystem and national park land in New South Wales, there probably won't be enough left to do all the solar panels and wind farms they need to keep the lights on. So, you know, they really are flying in the dark.
Mark, but look, it's New South Wales, yes, but it's also federally. I mean, we've got no idea how much this is costing. And Chris Bowen, I mean, all his predictions, Anthony Albanese, all their predictions prior to the election in reference to electric cars, you know, they're all wrong. They're nowhere near. I mean, today's results, in reference to reports that are coming back as to the sale of electric vehicles in Australia, the penetration of electric vehicles in Australia, I mean, what Bowen and Albanese were telling us it was going to be, it's nowhere near it. It's a bull's roar off.
Yeah, it's not going to get within cooey of any of their forecasts on electric vehicles. Australia has the highest rate of rooftop solar in the world, but the lowest rate of electric vehicle take up, because we're such a big country and people like their petrol driven cars to get around and don't like the idea of having to stop in Whoop Whoop just to charge your car to keep on moving. But in terms of cost of net zero, Brent, there has been some very good forecasting out of Melbourne, Queensland and Princeton University. There's a big study by Professor Batterham looking at the cost of net zero in Australia using all that advanced modelling, and it's $18 trillion. $18 trillion over the next 30 or 40 years, and that's some 12 times higher than our current national output, GDP. And just today in the Australian newspaper, there's a report, again, I think an accurate one, that to do the cost of renewables over the next 7 years, so through to 2030 in Australia, will cost $1.5 trillion, which again is our national output, our GDP. So, you know, there's the illusion of this is that Australia taking action on climate change, and with our small emissions, we can't do anything to change the world's climate, that's for certain. The politicians are trying to give the impression we're making some meaningful contribution globally at no cost to anyone. And it's the biggest lie that you'll ever see in politics or any part of life.
Well, on the New South Wales coast off Illawarra and off the Hunter and off Port Stephens, of course, we know we've been told that Chris Bowen wants to put his 215 wind turbines. There was a story around earlier this week that just goes to show, I suppose, how much Chris Bowen actually knows about this. Chris Bowen wants 215 wind turbines offshore in New South Wales, all up around the world at the moment. There's a total of 25 turbines floating offshore around the world. 25, and Bowen wants 215 off the coast of New South Wales.
He's saying that, but I doubt you'll get the private investment because it's a lot cheaper for these companies to do the wind turbines inland, western New South Wales, where the wind blows, southern New South Wales. And the problem off the New South Wales coast is that the seashell falls away very quickly and you can't secure the wind turbines to the base of the ocean. So you have to go to huge expense to try and tie these things in place so they don't cause havoc. So I'm not too sure the financial feasibility is there, but Bowen recklessly is saying he'd like it, and if it ever happens, it would be a huge destructive force in lowering property values, destroying amenity. Sea life would suffer, and it may well end up being dangerous given the problem in securing the wind turbines to the ocean floor.
Story that broke this morning, this is the Police Minister in New South Wales and the Minister for the Hunter, Yasmin Catley. She's been accused of inciting climate activists to block the world's largest coal port this weekend. In fact, I've got some audio. This is what she said to local media here on Wednesday, Mark.
I applaud people for getting involved. I think that it's important that people are having these discussions. We all know where things are headed. We will make sure, from the New South Wales Police's perspective, that there's high visibility and that there are resources and enough resources on the ground to keep the broader community safe and indeed the activists as well.
Now, it's not her, it's representatives from her department are saying that, you know, what she said has been taken the wrong way. Police are mad about it. I mean, Mark Speakman, he was on radio this morning calling for her to resign.
Well, I think they're disgraceful comments for the police minister and also Minister for the Hunter to say she's applauding people involved in an illegal blockade of ships in and out of the Newcastle port is just disgusting. It's disgraceful. She should resign. I mean, Catley has been a complete disaster as police minister. She has had no background in law and order, no knowledge of what's going on. She's made a whole series of mistakes, from the tasering of that poor woman in Cooma to the problems they had at the Sydney Opera House with the Israeli flag lit up. I mean, she has had a whole series of mistakes and missteps, and now she's encouraging people to break the law. It's illegal to block ships going in and out of a port, ships that are, you know, commercially legal, registered, abide by all the rules. You can't block them. And, of course, the damage that comes from stopping the coal trade in and out of Newcastle is the loss of jobs in the Hunter Valley, loss of livelihood. She's the Minister for the Hunter. And she should be saying, people, you must abide by the law. It's illegal to block a port, and we're not going to destroy the jobs of working-class people in places like Singleton and Muswellbrook.
Chris Minns, unless he has come out in the last couple of hours and said something, he's missing in action this morning in reference to saying anything about the comments that that she's made.
Well, it sounded like climate change hysteria. She said, oh, we all know what's happening, meaning, oh, she thinks the world's about to end. That's a load of baloney. So she's applauding people for getting involved to be worried about climate change. You can be worried about climate change, but do it in a legal fashion instead of blockading a port illegally and destroying jobs and livelihoods of working class people. So Yasmin Catley has been a disaster as a minister. Now as Minister for the Hunter, she's encouraging people to hurt the region financially, hurt jobs. You know, Brent, is there anything she's done that's been correct, that's been good? And I think Speakman's right in saying the sooner she goes and they get a proper police minister in, the better off New South Wales will be.
Mark, there was a pro-Palestinian protest yesterday in Melbourne. There is another one happening today as we speak now in Sydney. This was some of the audio from the pro-Palestinian protest of school children yesterday. That was one. Now, look, this is not the best quality, but this also happened yesterday at the protest in Melbourne. School children chanting. Now, that's school children chanting Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar. It's out of control, Mark. And it's happening in Sydney today. Jason Clare, the Education Minister, he said today that basically kids should stay in school with the teachers.
Well, of course they could. They could be in school, and it's only 24 hours if they had their protest and they're fairing and they do it on a Saturday. People have a right to protest legally if they get the permit and abide by all the rules. But for school kids to miss a day of school for something as pointless as this, as if they're going to change anything about the Middle East. You know, for most of these kids, it's just a chance to wag school and not do their work. And the protest organisers should be condemned for dragging kids away from school, for chanting those sorts of slogans. From the river to the sea is the wiping out of Israel. That's what they're on about. And that, of course, is the objective of Hamas. So, you know, it's a sad, sad moment. Kids get out of school and go on strike, supposedly. They call it a strike. They do it on climate change, and now they're doing it on something. They've got no chance of influencing the things in the Middle East. They should be studying their material, and if they want to have little protest activities, do it on the weekend.
Network 10 is seeking to call, of all things, a lip-reading expert. Now, this is to analyse CCTV of the Bruce Lerman and Brittany Higgins on the night that she alleges she was raped by her former colleague. This is what a court has heard. Your thoughts,
well,
Mark?
It's part of the soap opera, isn't it? I mean, the Brittany Higgins, Bruce Lerman thing through the courts, the abandoned case, all the controversy, now the defamation. It's unfolding like a soap opera, and I suppose a lip reader just adds to the theatre of it. But, you know, we've all seen the footage, or most people have seen the footage of Lerman and Brittany Higgins coming back to Parliament House 2 o'clock on a Saturday morning, 2 a.m. You know, in my experience, not a lot of speech writing goes on at 2 a.m. on a Saturday morning. They'd been out socialising, and you'd have to say the lip reader won't add anything to it, because you can see that Brittany Higgins looks pretty merry, Lerman looks pretty merry, they walk down the corridor, and that's the end of that. So no one was holding a gun to Brittany Higgins' head at that point. That's crystal clear. What happened in the minister's office, of course, is the subject of the defamation trial, and we'll find out more. But, you know, I think for a lot of people, they just wish this whole thing would go away. We've heard too much about it. And at the end of the day, the truth of it will only ever be known by the two people involved rather than the courts making a judgment.
Lastly but not leastly, the transgender New South Wales bill has been delayed, or has it been abandoned?
Well, they've delayed the release of it. This is a bill to say that a parent, a religious person, a professional counsellor will be breaking the law. They say to a 14-year-old girl who wants to be a boy, don't do it or reconsider it. It's a ban on intervening on transgender conversion. And this is way out of step now with international practice. There's a whole range of faddish, attention-seeking reasons why a 13-year-old will try to change their gender. But the overseas experience points out that in some cases it's genuine, but in the vast majority of cases, it all ends badly. And they should wait until they're adults. The medical and legal system should say that you have to wait until you're an adult to change your gender. And in the UK, where the notorious Tavistock Clinic has led to a rethink, the policy now is wait and watch. Wait and watch until these kids are adults, until they turn 18, then they can make their own judgment about their gender. So I think the New South Wales bill is 180 degrees wrong. Instead of putting a ban on people calling on a 13-year-old or talking to them about reconsidering gender transition, there should be a ban on children doing it, and we should adopt the UK practice very sensibly of wait and watch.
All right, Mark, just before we go, you're a cricket tragic. You would have been, I dare say, on the weekend glued to the final of the World Cup, and we won. Surprise, yeah. Surprise. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I got a bit of sleep in the middle of it, the start of the Australian innings, but I saw the beginning and the end of the match, and what a great credit to the Australian cricket team, because everyone said, well, India will only lose if they crack under pressure. I don't think India cracked under pressure. They were just outplayed. The Australians peaked at the right time. Travis Head was magnificent, that running catch, and then the century. The Australians really showed, if you're sort of in a long tournament, don't use all your expertise and ability early on. Peak on the final day, and that's what they did. So what a tremendous national sporting achievement.
Fantastic. Always good to talk to you, mate. Have a great weekend. Thank you for your time. We'll look forward to you joining us next Thursday afternoon.
For sure. Thanks, Brent.
Thanks, Mark. Bye-bye. That's Mark Latham, member of the New South Wales Legislative Council.